On the bottom of Tzadi Ches Amid Beis, so the last thing that we had done was to talk about Zroa B'Sheila, and the Gemara had first worked out that Zroa B'Sheila is either 60 or 100, that the Torah says, cook them together, b'mevata l'sur l'chatchila. And then, once the Gemara figured that out, it said, one second, how are you able to learn from Zroa B'Sheila that it's Bakel? I'm just going to say B'Shishim here on it, okay? You know I mean Shishim slash man. How can the Torah say that Zroa B'Sheila is Bakel B'Shishim? We have a brisa that claims Zehu Heter Haba Michlal Iser. And the Gemara, when it asks the question, assumes, what does the brisa mean when it describes Zroa B'Sheila as Heter Haba Michlal Iser? It means something that should have been Aser and would be Aser in every other context and is only Mutter here because the Torah tells you so. Presumably, what is that? The Gemara thinks in its question. What does the Gemara think that is Mutter here but Aser everywhere else? No, that's Abaye's Teretz. The Kava, the question of the Gemara, Umi Yalfinan Mina, can we learn from it? Isn't it Heter Abba Mechlal Iser? What do we want to learn from Zroa B'Sheila? What do we want to learn from Zroa B'Sheila? That all Isurim are B'Teil and B'Shishim. So the Gemara says, can you really learn that all other Isurim are B'Teil and B'Shishim? No. Zroa B'Sheila is Heter Abba Mechlal Iser, meaning all other Isurim should not be but are not Batal B'Shishim. And Zroa B'Sheila is an exception because it's Xeras HaKosov. That is that what the Gemara thought in its question. So Abaye said, nah. You know what the Braisa meant by Zeu Heter Haba Michlal Iser? The Braisa is speaking Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Chol HaTorah Kula, everywhere else, Kachim, Chulin, etc., what is the din of Min B'Mino according to Rabbi Yehuda? No Bittel. Min B'Mino is Oser V'Masho. So by Zroa B'Sheila, it should also have been Oser. So that's the Gzeres HaKosov is Zroa B'Sheila is Batel. The rest of it is the Iser of Zroa B'Sheila for Zarin. Is Batel and the rest of the animal. And this is an exception. Everywhere else, this would be Aser, because everywhere else, Min B'Mino is Aser. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but if that's the case, why don't we learn from Zroa B'Sheila to everywhere else that Min B'Mino is Mutter? I say this, get to say this once a year to pretend I like to do Lundus. So for some of you, it's Chazar. The Rambam, we're going to talk about this actually. So you're getting a preview. Sveika de Rabbanon, what's the din? Exactly. Sveika de Oraisa is? Zach, is that the Oraisa or the Rabbanon? That's Sveika de Oraisa Lachamra. Oh, okay. It's Machlokas. The Rambam makes a claim it's the Rabbanon. So they ask Akasha, I'm going to give you the very short version now. They ask Akasha and the Rambam. The Gemara in Kiddushin, in the fourth perek, has a drasha to teach you that a suffik mamzer is mutter. Only vadei mamzer is usur to marry into the kahal. A suffik mamzer can marry a mamzeres or a kasher. And they darshan lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem, mamzer vadei hu de lo yavo, ha suffik mamzer yavo. Bekal Hashem vadei hu de lo yavo, ha bekal Hashem suffik yavo. That's what the Gemara darshan. So they ask Kasha and the Rambam, if Sveika Doraisa min HaTorah is Lakula, why do you need a pasuk to tell you that Safek Mamzer is Mutter? That's the default position. Now, it happens to be through a whole issue of who had what in front of them. There is a tshuva of the Rambam that we don't possess anymore, but it's quoted in the Chidush HaRashba in Kiddushin. And you know what the Rambam, how the Rambam answered that question? How did the Rambam answer that question? Why do you need a pasuk to tell you that Sveika Doraisa of a mamzer is mutter, if Sveika de Raisa is always lakula? And what was the Rambam's answer?
That's
the makar. It's called a binyan av. He doesn't. It's binyan av mikasav echad, right? And you say Rabbi Yishma, b'shlosh hashem yinder satan adresa, mikal achom rikter, shabim binyan av mikasav echad. Binyan av mikasav echad is the Torah tells you a din in one place, and you learn from that to everything else. If you had a pircha, why you couldn't learn from that, you might find another pasuk that teaches you the din, and then binyan av mishnei ksuvim. Right, you say lo rizek rizeh, lo rizek kirizeh, hatzara shava shabahem shame X, and we have the din of Y, and therefore the Y, din of Y can be learned to everything that's X. Right? And by the way, if you could have learned everything from one pasuk, and yet the Torah tells you twice. What do we call that? Shnei ksuma ban ke'echad. And it's a machlokas. When you have shnei ksuma ban ke'echad, two psukim that teach you the same general din, do we say that that is the exception and not the rule, or do we say you can still learn? Malandar e malandar. Everybody agrees. Shlosha ksuma ban ke'echad. If the Torah tells you three times the same din by different mitzvahs, it's only those three things and nothing else. Right? But shnei ksuma ban ke'echad, ban ke'echad means one of them would have sufficed for a binyan av to learn from everything from it. So if you have a binyan av mishnei ksuvim, neither one is enough because there's a pircha on each one. Each one is insufficient to teach you the din globally, and that's why you should need a binyan av mishnei ksuvim. But if a binyan ke'echad, where each one would have been sufficient, and yet the Torah tells you twice, then already it may be that those are the exceptions, and you know the rule is the opposite. So the answer is, the Rambam says, this is the makar. So the Gemara is doing the same thing here. Right? You're telling me you have a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that you know is never batel. You have a pasuk that tells you that Zroa B'Sheila is batel. The Torah tells you to cook them together. So why don't we now, whether we have a pasuk, learn from this to everything else? That is the Gemara's question. Yes?
But aren't the mitos like wouldn't Rabbi Shmuel's mitos be there upon? Like how we do? Because like you have other, like you have Rabbi Kiva's mitos, so it can't be. Like how is mitos be?
Why that? Because Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael have different midos. Why does that make them the Rabbanan?
Because they derive their own way of deriving their own. Like, they're deriving some principles, but they're deriving
so the answer, you're asking an excellent question, but I'm going to borrow the Rambam's concept. Firstly, some of them are universal. Some of them are universal, and I suspect that Binyan Av is one of them that's universal. Where they differ, according to the Gemara in the beginning of Shavuos, and refer to elsewhere in Shas, but the main sugya is in the first two prakam of Shavuos. They argue about whether you darshan klal v'parut klal or riba miyut v'ribui. I don't know that they argue in any of the other midos in a global sense. But you can have something that's the raisa but not misinai. And a machlokas develops it when people. In other words, it could be that the Torah says that the principle of Torah Pez, aside from the specific dinim we got misinai, as the Rambam describes it, we also have new demon that the Chachamim come up with interpreting scripture. And it may be that not only the Chachamim interpret scripture and come into dinim, but they're allowed to use newly developed literary techniques, we might call them that. In other words, if a new method develops on how to read scripture, that's valid, and the Chachamim think that that's proper, that can be a din d'oraisa on how to read scripture. It's part of the Rambam's third category of Torah Shebaal-Peh, the part that's not Misina. Right, so the Rambam would say probably, and he says this explicitly, the usage of klal uprado klal, whichever one you use, that principle can't be misinai, because otherwise for the Rambam, you can't have a machlokas about it. And he would have to say at least that that choice of midos is not misinai, that's how Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva can be arguing about it. That's the Rambam's general theory about Torah Shebaal Peh. But it's d'oraisa. Let's accept for the moment it's d'oraisa. But binyan av may be everybody has a binyan av. I mean, which is not, binyan av is extremely logical. A binyan av, by the way, is essentially a neutral kal v'chomer. Zach's a strong guy. I'm not so strong. I can lift 50 pounds. He can lift at least 50 pounds. Said, Lavi and I, we're both guys. Okay, I can lift 50 pounds. Just Stam and Lavi can lift 50 pounds too. That's a kal v'chomer. That's a binyan av. I'm a guy. Stam guy. I can lift it. Lavi is outstanding, I should say. In the weightlift, I have no idea. But the point is, that's what's a binyan av is from two things that are shoving. The pirch on a binyan av, in effect, is almost the same one as you'd have in a kal v'chomer. You'd say, no, Lavi is such a spiritual person. He doesn't spend enough time in the weight room. There's no way that he could, just because I can lift 50 pounds doesn't mean he can. Right? So that's binyan av and kal v'chomer are essentially the same principle. And a kal v'chomer, by the way, you know is d'oraisa. How do you know kal v'chomer is d'oraisa? Because the logic appears in the Torah. Not in halacha context, but there are three kal v'chomers in the Torah. And you know what the three kal v'chomers are? What's that? No. There's no kal v'chomer in the Torah. There's a logic offer there. The three in the Torah. The most famous one is Heinani Aras Fasayim, Heimene Yisrael Hashem Elai, Ve'echin Shpreni Faravani Aras Fasayim. Rashi says it's one of the ten kal v'chomers in the Torah. It's not in Torah, in Tanakh there are ten. The other two are Hein Kesef Asher the brothers to Yosef, or to Yosef's guy. And the third one, Moshe says before he dies, Hein bo deni chayim achem ayom, ayim ha yisem in Hashem, ve'af ki achrei Moshe. Those are the only three that are in the Torah. But the logic of Kal v'chomer is so obvious. Right? So that's for sure the rights. And the Binyan Av falls in that gather. Okay, so back to our show. And so the Gemara says, why not use Zorah b'sheila as the Binyan Av to say that Zorah b'sheila, by Zorah b'sheila, is mememino batal? According to the Torah, by Zorah b'sheila, is mememino batal? Yes. So therefore, mememino is always batal by other Isur. That's what you should have concluded. So the Gemara says, v'ligmor mine, and the Gemara's answer is no. Because we have a pasuk, v'lakach mi dama par mi dama sa'ir, where the Torah tells you they're not batal. So now the Gemara, of course, asks, we read this, but I want to make this clear, because it's the template for each set of answers, for the three answers. So then the Gemara says, okay, well, why do you choose to learn from dam? Learn from Zorah b'sheila. In other words, why do you make this the paradigm and that the exception? Make that the exception and this the paradigm. So to that the Gemara answers, nah, Zorah b'sheila is a chiddush and you can't learn from a chiddush. What's the chiddush? So the Rishonim all said, I haven't seen anybody differ. The chiddush of Zorah b'sheila is that it is, well, not, no, they all have something like this. I'll say what Rashi says in the Ravid, as I mentioned on Wednesday, makes a big deal about it. The Torah tells you to be mevatel isur l'chatchila here. Normally, you're not allowed to be mevatel isur l'chatchila. Or normally, certainly, it's not a mitzvah to be mevatel the isur l'chatchila. So here, the Torah says, be mevatel this isur l'chatchila. That's why it's unusual. And that's why, when we decide which is the paradigm and which is the exception, we make Zroa b'sheila the exception, because it's an unusual kula. And we don't learn from it a kula that mimbimino is batel. So now the Gemara says, oh, but if you can't learn from Zorah b'sheila because it's a chiddush, what did we want to learn from Zorah b'sheila? The Shari Surm Shibitara, Bato B'shishim, so how are we allowed to learn that kula? So now the Gemara turns around and says, Meshuga, what are you talking about? It's not a kula, the Shari Surm Bato B'shishim. It's a chumra. Why? Because if the Torah hadn't said anything, what would we have said? Bato B'roth. So now, the Torah says, no, you have to have shishim. So that's a chumrah. Chumrah we can learn. If Zorah b'sheila is so novel because the Torah was so lenient, and yet it still has the stringency of shishim, certainly Shari Yisurim should have the stringency of shishim. The fact that Zorah b'sheila is a chiddush doesn't prevent you learning chumras from it. It only prevents you learning kulas from it. If theoretically Zorah b'sheila had an unusual chumrah, then you couldn't learn chumras from it. It wouldn't be a paradigm for chumras. It could be a paradigm for kulas. But it happens to be, it's a paradigm for kula. Therefore, you can't learn kulas from it. Therefore, you can't learn from it that mimino is batel. But you can learn chumras from it that by shari surim, you need shishim to be mevata. That is what Abaye said. Okay. That's what Abaye said. How would we have known that it would be batel barov? Rashi says, achrei rabim lahatos. Okay. Now comes along Rava. Rava Omar, no! You know what Heter Haba Mechlal Eser is? You know what thing in Zroa B'Sheila is Mutar, which would have been Asur, had the Torah not told you? Not that it's Batel B'Shishim, but rather that Lo Nitzracha Ela Letam Ki'ikar Debekodshim Asur. No, you know what the Kula is? By Zorah b'sheila, that tam is not, that normally by kachim we say tam ki'ika. By Zorah b'sheila, we don't. Now, there are two problems. Well, there's an implication and there's a problem. What is the implication here about the din of tam ki'ika? What's that? Where? By Kachim. By Kachim. What about by Chulin? It implies that Tam Kikar doesn't apply by Chulin. The simple reading of the Gemara. Lo Nitzracha El Tam Kikar the Bekachim Aser. But here by a Kachim case is Rabbi Sheila, Tam Kikar is permitted. Rashi makes that diuk, and Rashi says that Tam Kikar is only the Rabbanan by Chulin. Does this match with anything you've learned in Rashi until now? According to Rashi, let me remind you, I know it's been a few days, on Tzadi Ches Omen Aleph, the Gemara talks about shishim being required. And Rashi talks about the interplay between shishim and kifela. And what does Rashi say that is required in order to be mevatel iser? What do you need? This is Rashi Shita. You're going to see it front and center in the Beis Yosef. And the Torah is going to quote it. Most Rishonim disagree with Rashi. What does Rashi say you need to be mevatel iser? He says you need two things. What two things do you need? Kfela and shishim. The way I explained it, shishim is to be mevatel the mamoshes of the iser, and kfela is to verify that the tam is batel. According to Rashi, what's the din? Now, if you don't have a kfela, it's not available, you don't have to, you just really assume it's not going to have taste. According to Rashi, let's say you have tam. Are you allowed to eat it if there's shishim, but you can still taste the iser? No. Is that iser deraisa derabanan? What did Rashi say? If you look at Rashi, Dibar Maschil on Tzadiches HaMarach Ushneyon Lolem Dua, the Afal Gav the Iosis L'miyalef Minei Matzis L'miyalef Hecha the Yohav Taima, the Hocha Ika L'meimar the Isha L'bimino Havi Yav Taima Afilu Hachi Rabbonon Achmor V'amor Taima L'bato. I pointed this out in Shir. The Chachamim, the Shishim, according to Rashi, sounds like it's the Raisa. But Tam, once you have Shishim, is only the Rabbonon. In fact, even if you don't have shishim, tam is only drabanan. If you're Rashi, you could have, in other words, you could have had a lot of onion. You know, you could have a third onion, and you put it in a cheesecloth bag, and you let it stew in the soup, and then you pull it out. There's no more shishim. It's the shishim is batel. It's but it tastes. There's a ton of flavor in there. And Rashi would say it's only drabanan. Tam kikur is only drabanan.
Other Rishonim disagree and say it's
deraisa. There are two separate issues here. So, firstly, Rishonim say that shishim, when you have, the whole point of kfela is a kula. So some Rishonim, like Tosfos and the Rambam, say, who cares how much mamashus there is? If there's less than a rove of iser and you can't taste it, it's batel. I don't even know if you need to be, because it might even be with kazayis b'chiyas pras, it's still mutter. Right? I think it would still be technically mutter. Because in order to be daraisa for, let's say, the Rambam, you haven't seen the Rambam yet, but you're going to see it soon. The Rambam holds that in order to be Doraisa, you need Tamo and Mamasho. And what Tamo and Mamasho means is that there's a Kezayis of the Isser betoch Kedei Las Pras. Let me give you a normal term for that. What does it mean, Kezayis of the Isser betoch Kedei Las Pras? How much is a Pras? The better way of saying it is, how much is a Pras? So, you know, this is not helpful to your thinking. You got it all backwards. First, in order to figure out how long Kedei Achilas Pras is, you need to figure out how big a pras is. Kezayis betoch kedei achilas pras is not a shear of time. It's an amount. Meaning, a pras is either, which is half of a kikar, pras means half, broken. A pras is either 3 or 4 beitzim. And I'm going to work with a formula which is problematic, but it's one we usually assume, that there are 2 kezayisim in a beitzim. So a pras is either, according to Rambam, 6 kezesim, or according to Rashi, 8 kezesim. It's machlokas, how big a pras is, 3 or 4 kebetsim. So for the Rambam, having a kezayis and a mixture, tol kedei achilas pras, is having 1/6. According to Rashi, it's 1/8. So that's why I say, thinking about time isn't useful here. How long is a kezayis, how long is kedei achilas pras? It depends how big a pras is. 6 kezesim, 8 kezesim, whatever the time is. So the Rambam understands that in order for taroves to be aser, when it's 2 different flavors, when it's mimushe nomina, it has to be 1-5 ratio, at least, of iser to heter, meaning it has to be kezayis betoch kedei pras. And the Rambam holds, amazingly, that in order to get malkos, you have to eat an entire pras. I mean, you have to eat a kezayis of iser. So if you don't eat a pras, and it's all blended together, you won't be able have a kezayis of iser, would only be a chatzi shir. But for the Rambam, once you have kezayis toch kedei achilas pras, then it's an iser deraisa to eat it, and if you eat a pras, kedoch kedei achilas pras, not slowly nibbling, but you eat it continuously, you get malchus for it. Now, if you did Rashi on Tzadi Chesam and Beis, you will know the Gemara that this is all coming from. It's coming from a Gemara in Abu Dazara. Rashi is trying to put 2 Gemaras together, and they fit mostly nicely together. It's the Gemara and Abu Dazara. Did any of you do Rashi on Tzadi Chesam and Beis? Towards the bottom? Any of you get the Tzadi Tesam and Aleph? So you did it. Did you catch what Rashi quoted from Abu Dazara? This is the din for Avodah Zarah. Crucial Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam has a tortured reading in this monster Tosos here, Ed and Avodah Zarah, that you're going to have to learn when we do Simen Zadiches. But for now, I'm going to give you, I'll give you to a Regal Achas, because this is, we'll set you up to have a much easier time in Zadiches. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, read Kipshuta, the way Rashi and the Rambam read it, says the following. Rabbi Yochanan, this is Rabbi Yochanan, the holy Rabbi Yochanan says, Tamo v'lo mamasho is asur but ain lokin alav. If you have Tama Isser, but you don't have the Mamish of the Isser, it's Asr, but you don't get Malchus. Tama Uma Masho, Asr Halokan Allah. If you have Tam and Mamashas, you're Loka. You get Malchus. Now, if we say Tama Uma Masho, Lokan Allah, is it Asr Midaraisa? Not a trick question. If I say Tama Masho, Lokan Allah, is that an Isr Midaraisa?
Yes.
Absolutely. If I say Tama Vala Mamasho, Osir, if it ain't lokan alav, is that an issa daraisa or an issa darabanan?
Perhaps.
You don't get malchus. The question is daraisa darabanan. The position of Rambam and Rashi is, and then the Gemara says, what is called tamo uma masho? Kizayas betocha dechilas pras. What is tamo veloma masho? Less than that. Now, Rashi and the Rambam would say that when I have issur that gets mixed into heter, and I can taste the issur, if there is less than a kezayis betokta chilas pras, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. You don't get malchus d'oraisa. If there is a kezayis betokta chilas pras, and presumably you can taste it, tama uma masha, then if you eat, you get malchus, it's an issur d'oraisa, clearly. The Rambam says, this the Gemara doesn't say the fairish, you have to eat an entire pras. In order to get, because why? Because in order to get malchus, how much issur do you have to have? How much issur do you have to have generally to get malchus? What's the shear?
60.
No. Kezayis. How much issur do you have? Regular, no tarobas. If you want to get malchus, you want to be a wise guy, because you just want to avoid malchus, you go in and you nibble on the pork rinds, but you only have a little less than a kezayis. Malchus being a shear. So the point is, if you have issur mixed into heter, and there's enough issur that there's 1/6 for the Rama, 1/8 for Rashi, if you eat 8 kezayisim, you'll have eaten 1 kezayis of issur, 6 kezayis, you'll eat 1 kezayis of issur. That's called tama uma masha, and the Rambam says you have to eat an entire pras. Yeah? Lavi?
Then according to Rabbi, the shishim, it's still the issur, no, right? Or you just don't get
the whole thing. Remember, Lavi, this whole Gemara is strange, because it's all mimimina, which we paskin is bat avarov. Lamaisa midarais is bat avarov in the Rabbana b'shishim. Which is why most of these shomim say, "Oh, it's an asmachta." Rashi's, we're not going to kill Rashi's shita to death. But if you really want to work and figure out, I mean, I've thought a lot about Rashi's shita. Rashi is a very unusual shita. But Rashi pulls in that Gemara here. Okay. Now, by the way, those we show them like Rabbeinu Tam, who hold that Tam Kikur is Doraisa, have a fit of a time with the Gemara in Abu Zarah. What are you going to do with that Gemara? The Gemara says, less than a kezayis with a chespas, you don't get malchus. Now, the Issa Rabbeinu Tam is going to read the Gemara like this. You're going to see when you read Rabbeinu Tam, you're going to say, really? There is an in-between shita, a very clever shita, of some of the other Balei Atosos. Rabbeinu Tam didn't like this. They said, yeah, kezayis with a chespas is an Issa de Oraisa, and you get malchus. Less than a kezayis with a chespas is asa midaraisa, but because you don't have a kezayis betochta chias pras, you don't get malchus. What's the difference between these two? And now, one other little twist. According to Rabbeinu Chaim, as the bra, I think Rabbeinu Nisanel, different quoted by different names of Balei Tosfos. According to them, how much that it's an issur daraisa either way, but you only get malchus if you have a kezayis betochta chias pras. How much issur do you have to eat in order to get malchus? And the answer is a kezayis. Either it's heter mitzdaref le'isser, or the isser turns into heter. Once you have kezayis betochat de'achas pras, so the Balei Atosos say, all the Balei Atosos say, you get malchus for eating a kezayis. But they say, with the exception of Rabbeinu Tam, that if it's less than, in the mixture, you have less than a kezayis betochat de'achas pras, it's asr midaraisa because tam ki'ikar, but there's no malchus. Why? Because they say, I'm cheating for you because I'm giving you the hard tosos here, the long hard tosos. Tam ki'ikar is a new isser. How do you know you're not allowed to eat pork? Because the Torah says, Vesa Hazir, ki mafris parsahu, ki mafris parsahu, avishos hashasa parsahu, hu gerelo yigara. So the Torah said you can't eat it. Earlier it says lo sochele, you're not allowed to eat it. How do you know you're not allowed to have the tam of chazir? Because the Torah says that when you take kalim from Midyan in war, you have to kasher them. Why does the Torah say you have to kasher them? Because if you don't kasher the kalim and you cook in them, what's going to happen? You're going to get tam of the iser. Is that a lav? No. It's a mitzvah saseh, kasher the kalim. The reason why you kasher the kalim is so that you don't have tam of the iser. That's called a lav haba mechlal aseh. Do you get malchus on a lav haba mechlal aseh? And a lav that's formulated positively? The answer is no. Because in order to get malchus on a lav, on a negative prohibition, what does it have to be? It has to be similar to what? What does a lav have to be similar to in order to get malchus for it? Lav de chasima. The Torah tells you the parasha of malchus. In this week's parasha, because it's always this week's parasha, beginning of Perach Hafei, three psukim about malchus, vayayim bin akos harasha, vipilo sherikofanav, and the next pasuk after the parasha of malchus is, lo sachsom shor bidisho, you may not muzzle an ox when it threshes. From that, Chazal learned that in order to get malchus, four criteria, that everybody agrees and everyone we hold, four criteria have to be met in the lav. It has to be a lav sheish b'maisa. It has to be a lav which is not nita klase. It has to be a very specific lav, not a lav shevachlalos. And it has to be formulated with no. It cannot be a lav haba mechlal ase. When the Torah says, take interest from a goy, most Rishonim, with the exception of the Rambam, the Sifrei says it's a mitzvah saseh. You know what the mitzvah saseh of Lanachwi Sashich is? What's the mitzvah saseh? From a goy, not from a Jew. It's not a mitzvah to take interest from a goy according to most Rishonim. No mitzvah whatsoever. The Torah is telling you, take interest from a goy only, not from a Jew. That is not a law, though. It is a law. It's telling you something you're not allowed to do, but it's telling you in a positive way. When I tell you, there are two doors here. I tell you, go through that door. You understand, I'm essentially telling you, not that one. But did I tell you, do not go through that door? No, so you don't get malchus for going through that door. So that's what a lav haba mechlal aseh is. So the Balei HaTosfos of the Rabbi Tam say, that tam ke'ikar is a new iser. It's learned from Hagalas Klei Midyan. So, less than a kezayis betoka dechilas pras, when you have tam of lo mamasha, you can taste it. It's awesome in deraisa, why? Because tam ke'ikar is deraisa. You don't get malchus. Why? Because tam kikar is only an assay. What does Rabbi Tam respond? But Rabbi Tam says that once the Torah tells you tam kikar, guess what? Snapback. It's a good term. You know what the term snapback is in Tosos? It's a Gemara in Bechoros. A hadre l'isura kama. It was machzir l'isur harishon. In other words, don't eat chazir. That means pork. Doesn't include tam. Okay, Tam's mutter. The Torah says, kasher klei midyan. Why? So you won't get the Tam of Chazir. Once the Torah tells you that, Tam of Chazir snaps back into the Isser of Chazir itself, and you get malchus for that. That's Rabbi Tam's position. So that's the machlokas you're going to see in Tosfos. But they all hold that Tam kikar's deraisa, but most of the Balei Tosfos, many say you don't get malchus for it, even though it's deraisa because it's an asay. Rabbi Tam says, no, it falls back to the lava, whatever food it is. So, okay. But the question, of course, is what is Rabbeinu Tam? See, Rabbeinu Tam says, by the way, that if you have less than a kezayis betoch kedei achilas pras, and you can still taste the iser, you get malchus for eating it. What is Rabbeinu Tam going to do with the Gemara Nefo Disar? I'm going to keep you in suspense. I'm not going to tell you now. When you learn the Gemara, when you learn the Big Tosos, you see what Rabbeinu Tam does with it. You're probably going to be deeply, deeply, deeply unpersuaded by Rabbeinu Tam's position. Also, by the way, note, file this away for later in the week. The Tur conflates Rabbeinu Tam and the other Balei Tosfos' Shita. He attributes their Shita to Rabbeinu Tam, even though Rabbeinu Tam says you get Malchus even less than Kezayis B'toch Kechelas Pras. The Tur is going to conflate the two, but you should know Rabbeinu Tam's position is, as long as you can taste the Isser in the Heter, it's an Isser Doraisa, and you get Malchus for it. Whereas all other Rishonim say, there's no Malchus to talk about until you have Kezayis B'toch Kechelas Pras. But within that, there's a big Machlokas, because the Rambam says, you get Malchus provided you eat a Pras, where you had a Kezayis of the Isser, whereas the other Balei Tosfos say no. If you eat a Kezayis of the Taroves, which has a Kezayis of the Kechelas Pras, even though the Kezayis you're eating is a mixed, you get Malchus for that. When it's less than kazayis betoch techilas pras, the Rambam says it's in Rashi, it's mutam in Torah, and the other balatosa say it's an issa d'oraisa, but there's no malchus because it's an aseh. And so I've given you, I've just cheated for you, because now when you read in the Beis Yosef, this is all chazara, but you're gonna later this week when I send you makoros, because by tomorrow we're gonna be finished with this. I'm going to give you this tosis to do. I'm not going to ask you to do every one in Shas. If you're a Mitzuyan and you move quickly, you could do all the parallel tosis, but they all really amount to the same thing. This Machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam, and the other Balei Tosis, because they assume Tam Kikur is an Issa D'oraisa, but the question is whether you get Malkus or not. Okay, but Rashi and the Rambam say no, Tam Kikur is only the Rabbanan. When you have less than a Kazayas, the definition of Mamashas, where you could get Malkus and you talk about it, is Kazayas B'toch Techilas Pras. There are difficulties still with Rashi in this Gemara, but the simple reading of the Gemara is that Tam Ki'ikar is Asur by Kachim, but it's not Asur by other Isur. And what was the Torah Matir by Zohar B'Sheila? What was the Heter of Amichlal Isur? Tam Ki'ikar, that by other Kachim is Asur, here it's Mother. So there's a big problem that Tosos also latches onto Rashi. Tosos goes after Rashi with bared fangs? Is that the right? Bared, right. Tosus goes after Rashi. And there is a difficulty, Rashi. What tam is the Torah saying is mutter by kachim by Zerah B'Shema? It's normally Aser. What tam? So Tosus points out, this is called a tam koldahu. Rashi doesn't, in other words, what tam is the Torah matir by Zerah B'Shema? 60. How much tam is there in 60? Not a whole lot, if anything. Tosus says he thinks it's wrong. Firstly, by Shar Kachem, Tosus says, I don't think Tam Koldu is Osir. So Tosus claims, no, the Gemara says, Al Nitzucha Ella, firstly, it's all Asmach of Tosus. But secondly, Tosus says, no, he says, Tosus says the following. You know, sometimes by Zerah B'Sheila, maybe you could get Tam. What would happen if you had a lot of fat on one little piece and it came in contact with part of the aisle and it flavored just that part? Tosus says, you could have real Tam Ke'ikar. Okay, so he's just helped Rashi's case. But Tosus says, when the Gemara says, lo nitzchal tam ki'ikar de b'kachim aser, it doesn't mean by kachim dafka. It's just because we're dealing with kachim here. Hu adinami by chulin. That's a little late, but that's what Tosus says. But Tosus says, no, la dafka kachim here. Okay, so that's what Rava says. Yes, Zach.
That's
how Rashi reads. Simple. That is the simple reading.
The whole point is that it only applies to kachim, right? So it only doesn't work for kachim. That means it works by kulin. So
that what? What works?
Tom Kicker.
Zach, help yourself and help everybody and help me. Help yourself and everybody to understand the principle and help me understand what you're saying. What does Tom, when we say Tom Kicker, what does that mean?
I mean, as long as there's a taste of the...
Not as long. If there is a taste of the Isser, it's like the Ikar Isser is there. When we say Tam Ki Ikar, that's a Chumr. If you say Tam Ki Ikar is only the Rabbanan, it means that the Chumr is only the Rabbanan. I don't mean a Chumr in the sense that we're being, you know, too Haredi. I mean being an Isser. Tam Ki Ikar means there's an Isser. If you say Tam Ki Ikar is the Rabbanan, it means this is only the Rabbanan. Tam Ki Ikar means Tam Oshel Isser is Ki Ikar Oshel Isser. It's like the Isser is there, Mamish. So the Gemara says, Lo Nitzer, what was the Heter, the special Kulo Zorah B'Sheva, Tam Ki'ikar, that by Kachem is normally Aser, by Zorah B'Sheva, we don't say Tam is Ki'ikar, we say it's Mutter. Tam Ki'ikar becomes a phrase, you know, and it becomes a frozen phrase, I understand that, but if you think about what the words mean, saying Tam is Ki'ikar is a stringency, it's an issue. Okay, so... Rabbeinu, the Tabalei Tosfos say when the Gemara says Lo Nitzchal Tam Kikar to be Kachim Aser and by Zorah B'Sheilas Mutter La Dafka Kachim, it means everywhere else it's Aser. We just happen to be dealing with Kachim here, so we said Kachim. Everywhere else it's Aser, but here it happens to be Mutter by Zorah B'Sheilas. Right. So the truth is, right. Okay. So now the Gemara asks a magic question on the top of Tzadi Tesamet Aleph. First two words on Tzadi Tesamet Aleph. Jared, what are those two words? What's the Gemara's question? If Tam is not Ki'ikar by Zorah B'Sheila, then?
Don't we derive it from?
Why don't we derive everywhere else to learn that Tam is not Ki'ikar? That Tam Ki'ikar is Mutter, Zach. That's what we would say. Right, Zach, when we say Tam Ki'ikar is Mutter by Kachem, that's a misnomer. Right? Tam Ki'ikar, right, means that there's an Isser. What we mean to say is that Tam by Zorah B'Sheila is Mutter. Torah has more chumras by kachin. That's all. Many more restrictions on how it can be eaten. So maybe we could have this as well. So the Gemara asked correctly, Jared, why don't we use? Okay, great. But why? Why if we have this kula that Tom, Zach is not kikar by Zorah B'Shela, right? The Tom kikar is mutter by Zorah B'Shela. Why don't we use that as the paradigm to say Tom kikar is always mutter? Either for Rashi by all of the kachim or for Tosos b'chol atar kula. Right, wherever, whatever you hold that it's usur in generally, Rashi says usur by other kachim, Tosos says by everything else. So why don't we say, based upon Zorah B'Shela, that it's always mutter? At least menat Torah. So the Gemara's answer on the top of Tzadik HaSamanal is no. Gali rachamana agabe chatas kolash yigabe sarei tosh. Anything which touches the basar of the chatas will become kodesh like it. And the Chazal understand touching it doesn't mean touching. It's not if I go up to chatas, no, it means that it absorbed. It blended. Flavor was absorbed. So the Gemara says that gali rachamana agabe chatas kolash yigabe sarei tosh lios kemoa shem sulat he pasel the chatas is pasel it pasels the shlamim, or either will pasel the other. The im. If the two mix and they're both edible, but one has more chumras, why does chatas have a chumra over shlamim? Because you're only allowed to eat it until chatzos of the day you shecht it. The shlamim you can eat till chatzos, after chatzos, and the next day till shkia. So whatever, and where can you eat a shlamim? All of your shlamim. A chatas only in the azara. So if the two mix together, you take the chumras of both. If it happens to be the shlamim is tameh, is pasul, it can pasul the chatas. But the chatas generally has more chumras than shlamim, so if they absorb for one another, Tom is Keikar. So now the Gemara asks, of course, Jared, Umay Chazis the Gamina Mehech, Ligmar Mehai. Okay, nice. So one Pasuk tells you, Zorah B'Shela, that Tom is not Keikar, even by Kachim, or and where? And one Pasuk, Kalashay Gab Sarikash, teaches you that it is Asur. So why do you choose to make this the paradigm and that the exception? Make this the exception and that the paradigm. Exact same question we had with an Abaya for Mimina Rabbi Huda. So the Gemara answers, no, Chiddushu, or me Chiddush lo gaminan, Zorah B'Shela is a Chiddush, because the Torah tells you to mivatel yisul chatela, and therefore we can't learn the Kula, the Tam is not Ki'ikar, to the rest of the Torah, from, or rest of Kachim, from Zorah B'Shela. So then the Gemara says, ah, but if that's the case, Ihachi lemei v'shishim nami lo ligmar, we shouldn't learn the Kula of Shishim either. That it's Bato B'Shishim. Maybe only Zorah B'Shela is Bato B'Shishim because it's a Chiddush. But everything else it won't be Bato B'Shishim. So the Gemara answers, no. Atu, anan, l'kulo kagamrina, l'chomra kagamrina, d'mido, reisa, beruba Bato. If I didn't have a Pasuk, what would I have said? What would I have said with respect to other Isurim? I would have said that they're Bato Barov. But now that I have Zorah B'Shela, there's a Chomra that you require Shishim l'Vatel. So even though Zorah B'Shela is a Chiddush L'Kula, that you can mivatel Isur L'Chatchila, L'Chatchila, you can mix them together. But when it comes to learning a Chumra, that you need Shishim by Shari Surim, that you're allowed to learn from it. So it's identical structure as we have for Abayah. Okay. So far so good? Okay. Third answer. Now note, by the way, the third answer is structurally a little different than the first answer. Who gives the third answer?
Ravina.
Who was Ravina? Who is Ravina not?
Not
that's a very hard... What?
Not Rabashi.
My question deserves that answer. Fine. But what's the relevance when I have Abaye and Rava and Ravina? What's notable? Ravina is 6th or 7th generation. Abaye and Rava 4th generation. In other words, it's a separate layer. The answer has a slightly different structure. It doesn't fill it out fully. And that could either be for superficial reasons or, as Tosaf says, for substantive reasons. So let's talk about a perek that is my second least favorite perek in Chulin, which is Behem HaMakasha. My least favorite perek is Ha'or Barot David, Tzum HaBatara. It's a ninth perek. But let's talk about Behem HaMakasha. My Elu Trefos also is my least favorite. It's not a pagam in the Prakim, it's a pagam in me, but you know, I get nightmares having to think about it, having to learn. So let's say we have Johnny Calf, who's struggling to get out. Okay, he's a little like Esav or Yaakov or Peretz and Zerach. He's trying to get out. And Johnny Calf sticks his little arm out. And they say, oh, how cute! Okay, and then Johnny Calf, uncomfortably, pulls his arm back in. Now, let's say we want to eat Johnny Calf. So if Johnny Calf is eventually totally born, it's fine. We do Shechita and that's fine, not a problem. But what happened here was Johnny Calf wasn't born. Johnny Calf wasn't born. and we shecht the Johnny Calf's mother. And there, Mrs. Johnny Calf is dead, and Johnny Calf is dead inside. And now we want to eat Johnny Calf. Now, are you allowed to eat the ubar of an animal that you shecht?
Yes.
I was going to say, it depends on whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. No, I'm kidding. the answer is yes. Why? How do you know that? You think, I'm such a wise guy, but this drasha, you have a drasha for it. Kol ba behemah tochel, anything inside the behemah you can eat, if the Torah is imperative. And chel adam, you can't eat. But the fetus, which is, remember, the fetus, the drasha suggests that the fetus is not a limb of the mother, or unless the drasha teaches the fetus is a limb of the mother. Again, that's the question. The fact that the Torah has to tell you that the fetus, I'm serious about this. I know I'm fun with this and joking about it. It's all over Kachim in different mesechlis, this question whether Uba Yerach Imo, and it's very much relevant to the abortion question. And you know I don't care about the political camps. My only take on this entire thing is my tradition of Psak and what the sugyas have to say. But if every sugyat comes up with how do you relate to the fetus as a part or as a separate from the mother? And so you have a drasha that tells you that eat kol ba'beima, which is to teach you can eat the ubar. So does that mean that the ubar is not a limb of the mother, and that's why you need a pasuk to tell you? Or once the Torah tells you that you're allowed to eat it, it tells you that it's a part of the mother. So that could be its own discussion. But here's the problem. This animal stuck its little, cute little hand out. Now, there is a pasuk, and not in this week's parsha. In Parashas Mishpatim, I would call it his twin parasha, actually. A lot of overlap between Kisei Tzei Mishpatim. So it's always in this week's parasha, last week's parasha, next week's parasha, or in the twin parasha. So there's a pasuk that says the following. Uvasar basadet trefalo sochenu lakelev tashlichunosa. It says that an animal torn apart in the field, you're not allowed to eat, you throw it to the dogs. Now you all know the famous din that we learned from that, a trefa. Which, by the way, the pshat in the pasuk is not what we learned from it. Pshat in the pasuk is what? A dead animal that was torn, is killed by a wild animal, you feed it to dogs. What is a dead animal that was trefa, basar basar that trefa called? What's the yisr? Called nevela, not trefa. What is a trefa? An animal that's alive but is terminally ill. But Chazal learned something else from that also. Now I'm going to tell you something that I don't think anybody, I've said this before. You probably heard this from me last year, not in Shir. But it's a chiddush, but it's about knowing how language works and how Chazal worked. What is the word sada in Aramaic? There are actually many different Aramaic words. The one, you're not going to know the one. In the Bavli Aramaic, it's davra. In Unklus, it's chakla. But that's not the Eretz Yisrael word. You know what the Eretz Yisrael word is? Bara or ape bara. The word for field, you actually know the word from field. Bara. It's from Biblical Aramaic. Then you know where you know it from? It's one of those silly mistakes people make. They say chevas bara v'ofeshmaya. That's wrong. Chevas bara means the animal of he created. Bara means he created. It's chevas bara. It's an expression from the book of Daniel. It means chayas hasadeh. Bara, what does the word bara mean?
Outside.
Chutz. Now, Chazal darshan uvasar basadeh treifalo sochelu kevan sheyotza chutz lemechitzaso is usher to eat. When is basar yotze chutz lemechitzaso? If you take kachim kalim, you take him outside of the wall of Yerushalayim. How do you know that it's permanently usher? I know you're not allowed to eat it outside because the Torah says lo sucha hashrecha, but what if you bring it back in? Can you eat it then, Zach? If you take kachim kal, kachim kachim outside of the Azara, or kachim kal outside of Yerushalayim, bring it back in, can you then eat them? No, it's called yotze. There's tame, there's yotze, there's lon. It's yotze. How did they learn that? Basar shiyatza chutz lemechitzasa. How did Chazal get that from basar basadet trefalo sochelu? The answer is, did I tell you this? It's a calc. A calc means when a word goes into from language A into language B. In language B, it has two meanings, and then it comes back into language A with the other meaning. So the word sadeh in Eretz Yisrael Aramaic is bara or ape bara. The Targum Neofiti always uses ape bara. Basadeh is ape bara, apne hachutz. Because where is the field? Outside the city. So, sadeh turns into bara. Bara comes back into Hebrew as chutz. You know why it's called the baraisa? Because it's outside of the Mishnah. A chomesh milagav versus a chomesh milabar. Right? Do you take the fifth from the inside or the fifth from the outside of the total? It's all the same word. Bar. Right? A shor habor, we say, is a wild shor. It might be a bison. It's not wild, but bor means hachutz. It's the wild. It's a wild animal because it lives outside. It doesn't. It's not domesticated. It doesn't live inside. So, sadeh becomes bar. Bar comes back into Hebrew as chutz. That's the drasha. Uvasar basadet refalosachelu kevan sheyatcha chutz lemechitzasa. What additional din did they learn from that in the fourth parak in Holman? That if the animal sticks its hand out, shechita no longer works on that hand unless the animal is born. If Johnny calf is now born, that's fine. Because the truth is, how is every calf born? Well, first it sticks one limb out, then it sticks another limb out, then it sticks a third limb out until the entire calf has come out. That's not a problem. The problem here is that when the calf pulls its hand, whether it does or doesn't pull its hand back in, when it never gets shechita, the mother gets shechita. So anything that is considered part of the mother is nitar b'shechita. But something that's not part of the mother anymore, in effect, because it's basar sheyatza chutz lemechitzasu, the mechitza being the dividing line of womb versus outside, that basar is now basar. Unless the whole animal gets born, in which case it's not part of the mother, and the shechita of the mother does squat for the vlad. So that's, now, all of that, this is why all of Shas is sort of interconnected. Why is this, why am I telling you this? If the parrot gives me nightmares? Because there is a difference whether the animal pulls its limb back in or doesn't pull its limb back in. If it doesn't pull its limb back in, you have to cut off the part that was outside. And the makom hachatach, the place of the joint, is also aser. Whereas if it pulls its hand back in, then I believe we say, apidin, makom hachatach is mutter. Now, that is to understand what is called makom hachatach. It means when you have a joint substance where you have to cut it, what do you do with just the spot of the joint, the spot that was exposed there? Is that aser or not? So that's the discussion. So we learn when the animal sticks its hand out and you cut it then, the makom hachatach is aser. Zach.
Does that mean you just have to cut off like a tiny sliver from the
socket? Yep. Tiny slivers are very important. Tiny slivers are very important. We take everything seriously. Okay. So, what do we have by Zerah B'Sheila? Well, guess what? And this might not only be by Zerah B'Sheila, but what do you do with the Zerah B'Sheila? You cut it off and give it to the Kohen. So Ravina says, Ravina Amar, you know what the special kula Zerah B'Sheila is? Lo nitzracha ela l'makom chatach. The Amar, makom, is that really the Amar? I don't like that. The Amar Mar, okay. Makom chatach ba'alma asur v'hachashar. Generally speaking, when you have Isser attached by the hip, we might call it, the heter, and you cut it, you have to take a little more. You have to take from the heter. The makom chatach is aser. Here the Torah says you don't have to take the matmatach. That's the heter haba mechal iser. But not that the shishin is heter haba mechal iser. Now, why does the Gemara stops. And the end, we're done. Why does the Gemara not say v'ligmar mine? Why don't you learn that the macha mechatach is generally mot? So Tosas just writes here, the Alma, look at Tosas lo nitzracha. Lo nitzracha l'makom chatach. The ba'alma asr, kigon shehotzi ha'ubar siyada l'chutz, the nachla merpeh makasha, the makom chatach asr, mid itzrich parsa hachazir echol makom chatach, mechlal d'ilo hechzira asr, mid itzrich parsa of hechzir, if it takes its lamb back in, its limb back in, not hachazir, echol makom chatach. So I don't know what that drasha is, but Tosha says you mechlal dilo hechzir aser. So that's the, we want to know where chatach ba'alma is aser by the case that I gave you. V'nire d'shar kachim kegom chaza v'shok ve'imurin. Right, there are other parts of the animals in kachim where we cut off a part and we give it to the kohen, like the chaza v'shok. So Tosha says v'nire that in those cases shari nami makom chatach shalahem. In those cases also, a chaz of a shok, what happens when you cut off the shok? You know what the shok is? What is a shok? I love it, a thigh. Eli, nice one. They all say that, by the way. You know, I don't mean to be sound Haredi here. I have occasionally to referee certain things. When we say shok b'isha erva, people talk about the thigh, above the knee, below the knee. That's not what the shok is. This is the shok. This is the erach. That's undoubtedly clear. There's no question about it. This is called the shok. Now, you could talk about how much of the shok is there, but the entire shok, but this is called the erach. just so you know. Read anatomy, Chazal's anatomy, and all those. Less, there's no shayla. In fact, I was actually asked, I was discussing a question of the arm, and this is called the zroa. And you know this is zroa because any people going to go to medical school, anybody here like pre-med people, right? So tell me something. How many bones are in the arm?
Two.
And then this? One. So you know for sure which is zroa because they count in the Mishnah how many bones and what. I forget, this is called the zroa. I think this might be called the marpeik. Marpeik is also sometimes the elbow, the crook of the elbow. This is called the yad. In the this is called the regel, this is called the shok, this is called the erach. You know that vayachosam shok al yarech ma'kagidolah. There's no question about it. So anyway, so the shok hayamin is one of the pieces, the three parts of the animal, of its rear right leg. I forget which part. I don't know if it's the top one or the middle one. Is the shok, and maybe you have to give both, are given to the kohen as part of a karban shlamim and a part of a karban toda. So what about the makom achatach? Tosha says that's permitted. Why? Because we never find anywhere that they say that it's usher. Right? One more thing here. How do you know for Abaye that Mimbamino was mutter by Zerah B'Sheila? How do you know Mimbamino is mutter? It's not a trick question. It's obvious. How do you know? Because the Torah says, cook it together and eat it. How do you know that Tam Ke'ikar is mutter by Zerah B'Sheila? Because the Torah says, cook it together and eat it. How do you know that Makom HaChatach is mutter by Zerah B'Sheila? It doesn't say anywhere. There's no marker for it. If you want to ask her Shok, Chazav Shok by other kachim, you should ask the Zerah B'Sheila. There's no marker for it. There's no marker. But Tosha says the only time Makom HaChatach is Aser is in the case in the fourth parak. But he says that if we were going to learn, if we were going to ask the makom achatach, he says the halo ashkel korah b'zorah b'shel liyosim b'shar kachim v'iyalfi b'hu me uber the aser. If you're going to learn other kachim from the uber that sticks its hand out that it should prohibit the aser makom achatach, so b'zorah b'shel lanami litzar ela b'chulon lo aser akasa makom achatach b'zorah b'shel l'chazav ashok v'imurim tziva akasa v'hasir v'lo makom achatach. It just says give them the part, doesn't say it about the makom achatach. In that one case, by all kachim it's permitted. Here's the punchline. What was driving Tosus? How come the Gemara doesn't say v'ligmar mineh? How come it doesn't go through the whole thing? The answer is because there are no other liyafuses. Why is the makom hachatach mutar by Zerah B'Sheila and Shar Kachim? Why? Because the Torah never said it's Aser. It's a principle that's not known to many people, but if the Torah doesn't say whether something's Aser or Mutter, it's actually Mutter. It's not my observation. There's a comment, I think, of the Tosfos Yontev in Maseches Nazir. I think it's a famous line where he says that everything is assumed to be Mutter. Not always a good idea, but Mutter, unless the Torah says it's Aser. And we don't start with a principle in Judaism, everything is Aser, but if we can find a Heter, it's okay. It's just not the way Halacha works, not like Chazal thought. Everything is Mutter, unless the Torah says it's prohibited. Fine, but that's why the parallel structure of the Gemara isn't there. It's not there because by Tam Ke'ikar, it's Usur everywhere else, whatever that else is, Kachim or Tosus says, even by Hulin. By Mimbamino for Rabbi Huda, it's Usur everywhere else, right? And now you have to choose between which you want to use as the paradigm. By Makom HaChatach, it's only Usur in one place. And you want to know why Zerah B'Sheila is a Kula, that's Heter Abba Machal Isur? Because it's not, in other words, it could have been Usur. It's not because the Torah never says it's Usur. Yes.
Doesn't this make the braita completely unnecessary?
You don't like Ravina's Teretz?
I'm saying, I think Tosos reading weakens Ravina's Teretz.
No, because you're still left. Again, Tosos presumably is correct. Right? He's right that there's no Alfusa anywhere that Malcham Atach is mother. He's right that nowhere does the Gemara suggest that Malcham Atach is also, except for by the Uber sticking its yad out. And he's right that the Gemara doesn't turn around and ask, you know, the Ligbar Mine.
So then why should we need a special reading of the Brita to tell us that it's Uber?
Somebody wanted to make an observation. You know, there is such a concept about Malcham Atach by Uber and by Yad, too, and we don't apply it. That doesn't apply here. Yeah, but it's a kasha whether you say Tosos or don't say Tosos. Unless you claim Makom HaChatach is also everywhere, except for here. But
the Brita is not referring to Makom HaChatach.
Okay, then you don't like Ravina's Teretz. Right. Which is fine. You can think that it's a little bit dachuk. You know, again, so Zach, I'm not going to explore any further this, but let me give you a way. You're right, And you're reading Gemara critically, which is crucial, because we're not often taught to read Gemara. Critically doesn't mean I'm criticizing you. Critically means carefully weighing and not just swallowing. The Gemara says it, so yes, we know the Gemara has authority, but you want to see whether the Gemara reads carefully. Is the question whether or not Ravina is thinking about something else? It's because I pointed out to you before already, he's generationally separate. The structure isn't the same. Is something else going on here? I suspect you're not going to. We're not going to be able to figure out what the answer is. But you're right. But what you can throw onto the pile is also it's a strange kind of comment to make, right? What does it mean if it's never also anywhere else? Why is it called heter b'machal iser? I would just say it's heter, right? The iser is the exception. You're correct. So there is something legamre different about Ravina's approach. But Tosus was dealing not only with the data of figuring out where else do we see makom hatachas also other than in the fourth parak. But also, the Ravina's teretz does not have parallel structure. So there could be other reasons for that. It could be that it's possible, if everything else lined up, except for the fact that the Gemara is not parallel, it could be that Ravina represents an addendum to the sugya, and the editors just didn't fill everything out. Right? You could have argued that. You could have argued that the proto-sugya is a bayin rafa, and then this is a and it's edited that way, and then Ravina is just kind of tossed in. And that's definitely possible. I don't have any evidence. In this case, given how difficult it is to read Ravina there, I'm not inclined to think it's primarily just an editor's choice of not bothering to fill out. There's something else going on here, and that's what Tosus is. Whether you like Tosus' teretz or not, and how Ravina now reads with or without Tosus, I think that's it's something to be grappled with. Okay, good. Okay, tomorrow, believe me, we're going to finish to the bottom of the middle of Tzadi Tesson Beis, the parts that we actually took to the bottom. And then Tuesday, we begin Siman Tzadi Ches. You will have guidance, a lot of guidance. You will also have some more makoros to do, but you've done all the major gemaras. I fleshed out for you a good chunk of Tzadi Ches. You know, anybody who missed here today, well, they better do a better job when they're learning it, because you've already heard, you know, a great summary of almost all the issues that come up in Siman Tzadi Ches, and particularly the beginning part of it, the bulk of it. And so it should be very clear sailing through the Torah Beis Yosef.